Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. If up the black police, that 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Up coin tail pro. Show. They got me started, lying hearted. I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck all the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fuck me promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police, that 13th Amendment. Tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Up coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the counselor, the elder, cause that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Boys that don't tolerate it, melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack upped up another conversation, Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. If up the black police, that 13th Amendment. Tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Up coin tail pro. Show. They got me started, lying hearted. I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You
self-defense. Make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday. I fuck me, promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. If up the black police, that 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. If up the black police, feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, in the bill here, up coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, cause that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack upped up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prison. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Never ease. I'm trippin', DNA seeds like I'm born gray. I be mad 2G's, third world I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin.
Different things them happening, schemes and packaging. In a one night for shows I'm juggling. Flow like the ocean, my boat I'm paddling. Sharashina fella, that's my bro, my family. Rose in jail. When it comes to money I did concentrate. Make I tell you straight, you are not my mate. If you become mission, I'll be head of state. But my people then go say I know one guy, I know one guy, I know one family. I want enjoy, I want job life, I want buy motor, I want build house, I still want turn up. Tell me, money go, what's it gon' be? G-Wagon, all depends. Stick and step, ride the foot. I know be, die for nothing. My nigga, what's it gon' be? G-Wagon, all depends. The gather, ride the foot. I know be, die for nothing.
Turn this motherfucking shit up. Who they got? Rwanda, Nigeria. day watching the North Star. Shackles on my forearm, running with a gun in my palm. I'm an African, never was an African American. Blacker than black, I take it back to my origin. Same skin, hated by the Klansmen. Big nose and lips, big hips and butt dancing. Whoa. I'm an African, I'm an African. And I know what's happening. I'm an African, I'm an African. And I know what's happening. You an African, you an African. Do you know what's happening? I'm an African, I'm an African. And I know what's happening. And I did not end up here from bad karma off of B-ball, selling mad crack or rapping. Peter Tosh tried to tell us what happened. He was saying if you black, then you African. So they had to kill him and make him a villain, cause he was teaching the children. I feel him, Dunn was trying to drop us a real gem. That's why we bucking holes in the ceiling when we hearing I'm an African. I'm an African.
Yo! Hey, we're back. Jumbo and Habaragani. In the words of Kiswahili, what's the news? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the New Black Panther Party, the New Africa Network, Thursday night business broadcast. And I'm your co-host, Brother Eugene Telford, reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. Great state I'm in, and all states I'm in. We just heard from Burna Boy with that yo ye, that yayo, and we heard from Sample the Great out of Zambia with her formulation. And this sister is hot, man, with that great state I'm in, and all states I'm in. Hey, man, this is April 21st, 2022. This month is moving out fairly fast, and we're going to get on with the show here tonight, and we'll have Sister Dada Crystal Muhammad. She'll be joining us a little bit later in the broadcast. The New African Network, the New Black Panther Party, extend a big up to all our dynamic brothers and sisters tuning in each and every week. We are Black grassroots organizations and Black businesses united, over 300,000 strong with the New African Network and over 1 million strong with the New Black Panther Party. And we have all of our affiliates out there, the South African Economic Freedom Fighters, and we have the Nigerian business community along with the Ghanaian business community. We are Ethiopian connected, and we are Zambian connected, and we are worldwide. We are working together. In the words of Kiswahili, tuka pamoja. And welcome to this evening's broadcast. Black businesses, black activists, black for-profit and non-profit organizations working together to make a difference in the communities in which we live. In the African words of Kiswahili, tuka pamoja, which means we are together. All power to the people. All power to the people. First up, I'd like to give a big Asante to our First Lady and Squad General Dada Crystal Muhammad and all of the rest of the NDP Nation Builders. A big Asante and a big shout out to all of our sponsors, our supporters, our contributors, our business partners, our Black Nation troops and security teams and legal advisors, the NBPP, Black Cross, Emergency Medical and Social Workers Team. Hey, remember to donate to the NBP Black Cross Team. Your contributions go a long way, and especially in these times of natural disasters around this time of the year, we certainly need your support. You can donate by chiming into the website at www.nbpp.org. Just hit the donate button and contribute what you're comfortable with. We also want to give a big shout out to the New African Network Board of Directors, team members, and affiliates. We appreciate all your contributions that you've provided and to support programs like this that we bring to you each and every week. We also like to give a shout out to one of our businesses that support platforms like this, Exquisite Import-Export Trading Company, doing business as ETC Logistics USA, your one-stop shop network for international trade and logistics services. This company has been operating since 1988 and provides services all throughout the Caribbean, Central and South America, and also Africa. For more information, 1-800-216-1750. That's 1-800-216-1750. ETCLogisticsUSA.com. Again, for those of you who are just tuning in to tonight's program, this is Thursday, April 21st, 2002, and we're going to get ready to jump the night off with highlights of the African stock market and exchange report. And so here's the report of today. First up, we have the Ghana Stock Exchange. The Golden Triangle closed the day at 2,696.67. It was no change at 0%. Year to date, the market was down at negative 92.67 at 332%. The market capped out at 64.04 billion. And that was the end of the day on the GHS. Next up, have trading. Johannesburg Stock Exchange closed the day at 73,350.94. It was down by 0.59% on the index. That reflected a negative 432.49 on the trade. Year to date, the market was also down at 358.45, reflecting at negative 0.49% on the index. The market capped out at 20.67 trillion, and that was the end of the day trading on the DAR. Next up, we have the Nairobi Security Exchange closing today at 156.69. It was down by 0.38%, reflecting a trade of 0.6, negative 0.6 on the index. Year to date, the market was also down at negative 977, which equated to a negative 5.87% on the index. The market capped out today at 2.44 trillion, and that was the end of the day on the KES. Next up, we have the Nigerian Stock Exchange. Closed today at 48,223.86. It was up by 0.18% on the index, reflecting a positive at 85.15 on the trade platform. Year to date, the market was also up at 5,507.42. That was a plus 12.89% on the index. And the market capped out today at 26 trillion. That was the end of the day on the NGN. Next up, we have the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange. It closed today at 23,486.38. It was up by 1.01%, reflected a trade of plus 235.84. However, year to date, the market was also up at 12,664.02, reflecting a 117.02% climb on the market. The market capped out at $3.34 trillion, and that was the end of the day on the ZWL. And last up, we have the New York Stock Exchange closing today at $16,499.33. It was down by 1.56% on the index, trading at a negative 262.01 at the end of the day. Close of the bell, year to date. However, the market was also down at negative 726.77. That reflected a 4.22% negative on the index. The 52-week high was 17,312.94. And that was the end of the day on the markets, the information we had to provide for you for today's trade. Afro nations rising all across the planet, politically and economically. This is day 786 reporting since the pandemic. However, this is also Earth Day. Hey, can you believe it? We are all about the positive outlook on what the Earth looks like today, and we've been challenged with many things from natural disasters to global warming, and also being able to keep our planet clean and safe from the air that we breathe, as well as the natural environment and habitation. So we want to be conscious of this. Recycle when you can. Recycle when you can. Recycle. Remember the three R's there. And definitely this is a part of tonight's business report. So we've had a long week here, and I know most of you had been trying to get through the week. And, of course, this is getting tomorrow's Friday. And last week we had Good Friday, which was a religious day for many of our listeners and also viewers on the New Africa Network TV broadcast. And a lot of folks called in, and our Muslim brothers and sisters and our Christian and our Hebrew and Israelite brothers and sisters, they called in and chimed in to tell Brother Eugene, you know, a happy holiday season. And we've certainly enjoyed ourselves over the last few weeks with the holiday seasons of Ramadan and also the rebirth of Jesus Christ in our day and time. And tonight's business broadcast topic, the marijuana and the hemp business, who's making money and who's not. So, you know, a few weeks ago, we had Dr. John Boyd and his lovely wife, Kara Boyd. They are founders and head of the National Black Farmers Association, Black Farmers Association of America, and they came on the program to discuss a little bit about black farmers being more engaged and getting involved in the business of agrotech and agricultural cultivation. These are certainly ways to help level up and make money these days. And being in business in the agriculture, it could be very beneficial to one's family. And also being able to produce cash crops that will bring you the type of money that you would like to see in these days. And especially in the agricultural growing food and medicinal herbs and medicines, and also livestock is very important today. It's a part of our human way of life and sustaining our lives as well. And so we certainly want to thank Dr. John Boyd and Sister Kara for coming on a few weeks ago. You can access their information through the National Black Farmers Association via Google, the internet, and it's certainly a good place to obtain vital information about what's happening in the field of agriculture, rules and regulations, and also things that are concerning minority farmers in the United States. This brother and sister has been advocating on the behalf of the black farmers for many years now, and have been certainly pioneers for bringing forth a lot of the new laws and regulations to be able to continue to support the black farmers of America. And yesterday, we celebrated 420. Whoa! Can you believe it? After all the people went to jail over the last 100 years, now we're celebrating the legal use of both marijuana and hemp. The legalization of cannabis, marijuana, in many of the states here in the United States and across the world. And talking about marijuana, you know, I just wanted to provide a little history of where this plant comes from. Marijuana, also known as cannabis or pot, has a long history in human society, and in most ancient cultures, had grew the plant for herbal medicines. And it can be traced all the way back to 500 BC, before Christ was even born. And at some point in time, it became politically and racially charged. And in fact, there had been factors that led to the criminalization of marijuana during the 20th century. And although it is of a legal status, has changed over the past 10 years, and we can say the past 20 years here in the United States now, since many of the laws have changed all over the world, cannabis and hemp is now being grown and cultivated pretty much worldwide for profit. And so we have seen great changes in the industry over the past 10 years with opening up the sectors. The cannabis and hemp plant originally evolved out of Central Asia before it was introduced first to Africans, and then it went on to Europe and eventually wound up in the Americas. And hemp was originally used for fiber. It's fiber, and was used to make clothing and paper, and it was used to make sails for ships and ropes. And the seed itself was also used for human consumption, food, human and animal consumption. And because this is a fast-growing plant and it is easily cultivated, early hemp plants had very low levels of THC, and THC is known as tetrahydrocannabinoids, and the THC is the chemical formula in the plant that gives you that mind-altering effects. Hey, we're back again. And it's been evidence of the psychoactivity of these properties in the cannabis plant that scientists have studied. And let's discuss a little bit about medical marijuana. Well, anyway, in the early 1830s, there was a gentleman by the name of Sir William Brooks, and he was an Irish doctor. And this gentleman had been studying in India and found that through cannabis extracts, there were various properties in the cannabis plant that could cure stomach problems, and it also, at that time, it helped people with the cure of cholera. And the THC interacts with the areas of the brain that has to do with nausea, and also it has a connection to, for one, being hungry. And to our today's time, we call it getting the munchies, you know, off of this cannabis consumption. And in fact, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, had approved two drugs for THC-based, and it was prescribed in pill form, and is known today as Marinol and also Syndrosis. It was used as an extract for nausea that was caused by chemotherapy, and also the loss of appetite, people who may have some experience with AIDS or HIV. The recreational weed had first come into history through the Greek civilization, and a Greek historian by the name of Herodotus, he recorded that the Synthesians which was a large group, which we know today as Iranian. They were inhaling smoke and seeds from a plant, and that was recorded in history. And this plant that was recorded is known today as what we call hashish. And for those who are not familiar with the term hashish, it is a purified form of cannabis, which is smoked through a pipe, and it is widely used in the Middle East, and it is also part of it is also, hey, Black Power sister, welcome to the program tonight. And it's
I got to jump in, the Greeks always steal our culture, but actually the cannabis plant goes all the way back into ancient Egypt. So they observed it. In fact, this sickle, the sickle symbol that is the sickle tool that is used in the hemp is inscribed on the walls of Kemet. In fact, there is the goddess Sashet. Not only does she have the sickle symbol, but if you look into the goddess Sashet, which is spelled S-A-S-H-A-T, now this hieroglyph goes back long before the Greeks. She actually has a cannabis plant over her head. And so this plant, you know, the Greeks, as we know, have always plagiarized our, one could say plagiarized, but as we go deeper into history, we will find that the original Greeks were the Etruscans. And the Etruscans were the ones who went into northern Europe from North Africa and the Kemetic region. So just a little, although, you know, these European books may give credit to the Greeks, it goes far back, all the way into the land of not only Kemet, but also into Kush and Nubia, which is a whole other discussion. But go ahead with the part that you're going on with, brother.
Okay, Black for sure. Power. Thank you, sister, for that information. Yeah, Black Power, word up to you. Welcome to the nice program. And, yeah, the actual plant itself was widely used throughout the Middle East, and it was also a part of Asian culture starting in the 1800s after Christ. And, of course, we all know that the Greeks had traveled for many centuries to the land of Kemet in Africa, and which we know the land of Egypt today. That was all Black Africa, went there to be educated and thus took that education back to the European and Asian regions where they were from. But the plant itself originated out of Asia. And, of course, with the municipal uses of over time, we certainly have been a great benefactor of that. And with the rise of the popularity and the corresponding it to how it spread throughout Islam in the region, the Quran itself had forbidden alcohol use, but it did not forbid the use of cannabis. So, hey, isn't that something to know as a part of our history? In the United States, marijuana wasn't widely used for recreational purposes until the 1900s, and that's when the Mexican immigrants, the Mexican people who were coming here to the North American region to actually work, they used it for recreational purposes, and they practiced smoking marijuana, and it became a mainstream part of today's American culture. So that's where all that comes from today. And during the Great Depression, you know, it was highly resented, used by the Mexican immigrants. And from the public standpoint of view, the weed itself had resulted it be prohibited and not used during this era and had been placed in a drug category where it was highly intoxicant. And in article in 29 states, it had been banned starting the year 1931. In 1937, there was a law that came into act by the Marijuana Tax Act, 1937. It was the first federal U.S. law to criminalize marijuana in the nation, and the act itself imposed the excess tax on the sale and possession and also the transfer of hemp products. And effectively, it criminalized all but the industrial sector that was using the plant. And the first person to ever be arrested was this 18-year-old farmer. His name was Samuel Caldwell. Now, that sounds like a black man, don't it? But anyway, his name was Samuel Caldwell. He was the first person to be persecuted under the act in 1937. And at that, they did not ban the use of the plant because it was still being widely used in the industrial sector being grown, and that was grown all the way up until 1957 in the industrial sector, and then they actually stopped the whole process of growing marijuana. With the marijuana legalization process started to come into play, the one that is well known was the War on Drugs Act, which was commenced in 1970. It was signed into law by President Richard Nixon, and he repeatedly hammered down on the use of marijuana through the Marijuana Tax Act and listed the marijuana as a Schedule I drug, which also fell into the same category, can you believe it or not, heroin, LSD, and ecstasy, and which means that none of these drugs have no medical use and, or a high potential for abuse. And it was identified by the anti-drug program like DARE, and then later on in the 80s, we know it as the Say No to Drugs Act during the Reagan administration. However, in 1972, a report came out of the National Commission of Marijuana, and it challenged the laws that were had been set in place that had criminalized the drug for so many years. And the law itself had released a report coined as a signal of misunderstanding. It recommended the partial prohibition and lowered the penalties for those who were found in possession of marijuana. In California, the Compassionate Use Act was passed in 1996, and it became a state that legalized marijuana for medical use and for people who had severe illnesses or suffered from severe conditions or suffered from chronic illnesses. This was followed by other states such as Washington, D.C. At that time, it was only four states, which was California, Washington, D.C., Guam, and Puerto Rico had allowed the use of marijuana to be used for those types of patients. In June 2019, 11 states, including Washington, D.C., legalized marijuana for recreational use. Colorado, Washington, D.C. became the first states to do so in 2012, and adults were able to legally light up without having a doctor's prescription. These states included now are Alaska, California, Illinois, Maine, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, Vermont, and Oregon. Canada, and cannabis is also, it is still illegal under the U.S. federal law, but however, this is being challenged in today's court system whether or not to allow full legality of the drug, just the same as we would go to the ABC store to purchase liquor, as long as you are of age and are able to consume, you should be able to purchase marijuana legally. And so many states are now challenging this, including many countries worldwide. starting to go into reform and are seeing some of the benefits of how marijuana plays out and not being demonized as a drug that is that brings society down. So in tonight's discussion, over the week, we have brothers and sisters chime in to the New African Network platform. And as we were getting close to the 420, the day of 420, some of the discussion came up about, well, they asked me, well, Brother Eugene, what are some of the ways that, you know, we people here today, you know, since everything is being legalized, how can we make money? And so, you know, I had did a little research and come to find out there were 33 pretty much important ways that a person can make money through cannabis or CBD or even medical marijuana in the medical marijuana business. And you'd have to be, you know, someone who might have been hiding under a rock over the last 20 years not to notice that here in North America, this is a rebirth of a gold rush. It has been nothing like this since the gold rush, and the industry itself has certainly been attracting the attention of just the average old U.S. citizen hoping to cash in on this golden opportunity. So how do we make money legally and get into the green rush? And so there's all sorts of possibilities that I found just through our research, and there are not limited to, but certainly we found that there were approximately, you know, almost 33 examples. One would be advertising your affiliated products or a program that's associated with marijuana or the cannabis industry. You can create a brand of your own utilizing both THC and CBD products that you can create and sell on the open market today, especially in those states where it is legal. You can create a cannabis-related content, or you can start a media outlet. You can also become a caregiver, someone who has knowledge about the use of marijuana and how it could help benefit a person in their everyday lives. Especially those who may have experienced chronic pain or some discomfort, seizures and things of that nature. You can also become an independent sales rep or a broker and sell products or even wholesale as a broker. Another way we found is you can also be creative and produce goods and products that you can promote under the brand name or someone else's brand name. You can sell gear and supplies and equipment that may be associated with growing, cultivation, or even wearable goods, or you can supply things like fertilizer as well as organic dirts, things of this nature that can help you grow. You also have hydroponic mechanisms and equipment that can be utilized to grow marijuana and hemp these days. We highly encourage those of you who have that inventor's type of mind. You know, you can get out there and invent new vaporizers and machines that are used to grow and manufacture. And also we'll get into a little bit about the extraction business of it. Cannabis, you can also go in as the business as a cannabis reporter and almost all sorts of news and backgrounds about the industry, such as cannabis blogging and the writing blogs that would be attached to the industry that could attract and also advertise. You could also open up and start your own dispensary. I know we have a lot of folks who have chimed in on the New African Network who had was able to provide me with extraordinary information about your state and what was the associated rules and regulations around opening up a dispensary and what was the application process and the fees and stuff like that were involved or associated with getting in. Also, There are things like head shops where you can actually sell gear and clothing at a retail level or some type of outlet or boutique that could help provide big income for people who want to get into the business. We also found that developing software around the agricultural base of cannabis and that's focusing on the software to develop also applications, apps that can make your everyday business easier, apps that make money either by selling the actual app itself or selling something within the app that could be beneficial, such as advertising or helping to streamline the management process of a farmer or someone who may be cultivating. We also looked at those who want to become growers. Having a green thumb is very important these days, both for products that can be human and animal consumed, and now we're getting into the new biofuel industry sectors that are being able to take certain types of products and create biofuel production from it. These are growing green thumb industries, and, of course, it all depends on your state or where you live at. You would have to check in to see what are the rules and regulations in your state so that you can get in on the system itself. Also, opening up cannabis labs in many states, since it's now legal to grow and process, technicians are needed to process cannabis on a regular basis that can actually test to see if they are free of pesticide and mold and other toxins that could be in the growing process. And in this industry, it has become very highly regulated since this is a substance that is being consumed, smoked, and consumed into the body itself. So FDA has certain rules and regulations around that guideline to how one goes about growing and processing. We had talked a little bit earlier about one of the great money-making opportunities being the opening up an extraction facility, which you would use extraction systems. And you have to be somewhat of a person who has sort of enthusiasm for chemistry and getting these equipments in that could extract the oils as well as rosins. You can create keeves and things like that. It could help generate extraordinary amount of income. And you thinking when you get into the extraction process of any plant-based systems, and you really get into making money. And I do know this because I've been in the palm oil business for many years now, and the extraction process for extracting any type of oil could certainly be a great income for one, generating revenue, fast and quick return on investment. And so we highly encourage those who want to get into that sector to dive a little bit deeper. And, of course, there's a whole slew of opportunities. Also, becoming a cannabis doctor, that's a great business, right? And for those of you who have your medical marijuana cards and have been, actually you have to go see a certified doctor to be able to obtain a medical marijuana card these days. And I know this from being a resident of Washington, D.C. You go in, you'll take a physical, you'll go through the process with your medical doctor of what's the reason why you need to utilize marijuana before they actually give you the okay to be able to go out and utilize your card to consume, purchase and consume marijuana. Another business to be in is the bed, bud, and breakfast business. Can you believe if you live in a state where you're able to offer someone to stay at your Airbnb or your bread and breakfast you can have all of that readily available for your guests, and that's certainly a good way to bring in business to your establishment, and especially today in those states, you know, many people who travel from out of town.
So you said bed,
bud, and breakfast, because you know you're going to need all three once you do that. Word up. But anyway, yeah, certainly that's a good way to make money these days. And also, you can start a social club, can promote cannabis parties and events. You can create mail order content that is generated through the cannabis industry, associated with the cannabis industry. Cannabis graphics designers are very highly needed today. Also, cannabis photographers. You know, for those of you who are in photography, you know, just to get in and get that close-up shot of that bud and see those crystals lingering on top of those little branches there, that certainly is a good business to be in because advertisement is everything. Also, creating and making gear around cannabis, you know, like we got back into the clothing and, you know, with the graphics design, a lot of folks have gotten creative today by making T-shirts and they have cannabis bud and then you can advertise your business or your location, wherever you might be, you know, selling your product or you may even advertise and sell a product for a distribution center or a dispensary. Also, the financial sector has a big demand for individuals in accounting and taxing and things like that. In this type of business, it's being highly regulated. In some states, you can't necessarily take those funds directly to a bank, but there are certain ways to get your money secured in a financial institution that can help protect the revenues that you bring in today. And that's certainly something that you would have to look into to find out what are the financial rules and regulations when you open up a dispensary in your state. Also, the real estate service industry is big time now, you know, with the legalization of marijuana and hemp being another topic that we'll get into a little bit later, and it has to do with the connection with CBD. We'll talk a little bit about the real estate side of that, but someone who wants to just get into opening up lands and real estate that could be associated with growing hemp and processing, that's pretty big business, as well as lawyers today. We have cannabis lawyers, can you believe it or not? And not just there for getting people out of jail now, they're there to help people have their businesses being able to be in a status where they're legal and also compete in an industry such as the cannabis industry. The cannabis business also needs consultants. It also needs folks that could consult in cultivation, needs folks that can consult in rules and regulations from the both local and federal level. And also, those of you who are interested today, they have stock investments. You can actually purchase and buy stocks in cannabis these days, and who would have thought 20 years ago that now there's a very lucrative and market for those who, if you don't even smoke, you could at least invest in the industry and still make a good profit off of it. Hey, man, what a legal drug deal is that? And the trade in cannabis stock has become very big these days. And so by the end of this program tonight, I hope to be able to provide maybe a few tips on some of the stock traders that you can get your money connected into, especially with those brothers and sisters who are black-owned and operated businesses. We highly encourage that you invest in those types of businesses because when you invest in black businesses, black business is black economics, and black economics is black power. So we certainly encourage our brothers and sisters to seek out black businesses in your community and certainly be engaged. Be engaged. You yourself have a whole slew of things that are available at your fingertips these days. We also want to keep in mind if you're focused on the CBD hemp business, the CBD, if you want to grow CBD hemp, it is legal and you don't have to go through too many rules and regulations that's associated with marijuana.
Let me jump in, see if I can help you out on that, on the industrial hemp.
Yeah, for sure.
On the industrial,
well,
it's industrial.
Yeah, I'm just about to do this right here, and I'll go ahead and let you jump
okay.
in there.
Okay.
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 So we just want to keep in mind that the focus on the CBD hemp, it provides you with a different category, and it can be grown pretty much all throughout the United States with no rules and regulations attached, except, you know, you get connected in with USDA if you want to be an official farmer.
No, there,
of
there are rules. You have to be licensed. You do have to be licensed.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, that's what's up. But we'll let Sister Crystal get in and dive into that a little bit later because she is involved in that, and she certainly can provide you with a little bit more background to the hemp business. But, yes, yeah, certainly this is a part of getting your hands in on a piece of the pie these days and get yourself in as either a sales representative or you can act as what's called white labeling. And that means that you can get a product, and if you're able to get the product in its either extract form or perhaps if you're dealing in flower buds or so forth, you can brand and label the product under your own private label under the partnership program. So I'll go ahead and yield the mic and allow Sister Crystal to jump in. Hey, I'm Brother Eugene Telford reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. One love and happy Earth Day. We love you, brothers and sisters, and thank you for tuning in this evening.
Oh, yeah, don't you go
ahead,
anywhere,
sister.
Brother Eugene. Don't you go
nowhere.
Don't you go nowhere. No, I wanted to chime in and kind of just tie some things in together that Brother Eugene mentioned. Now, as he spoke of, there are two different categories in this cannabis plant, and that one is marijuana and one is industrial hemp. And so the difference between the two is the same, you know, family of plant, but the difference between hemp and marijuana is the THC level. And so if you're going to be growing for hemp, because some states have not legalized marijuana for recreational use, but some states have legalized marijuana for medical use. But many states have legalized hemp more than those states that have legalized marijuana. And the difference, again, is the THC level, which would determine if it was going to be classified as hemp or if it would be classified as marijuana. If the THC level is above 3%, then they're going to call it marijuana. So when you're growing industrial, when you're growing industrial hemp, you want to keep that THC level below 3%. And they do have certain seed strains that have been designed to somewhat stop you from growing over the 3%. But there are those who have seeds that, you know, you just basically have to monitor and make sure it doesn't grow what they call hot. Now, as far as the states that do allow marijuana, just for the record, for you, those of you who may or may not know, we're going to let you know. You got Alaska, Arizona, California, Colorado, Illinois, Maine, Michigan, D.C., Maryland, Montana, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, New Mexico, Oregon, Oklahoma, Vermont, and Washington. So that's a good amount of states that allow marijuana. And we're talking about recreational marijuana use. Now, the states that don't have recreational marijuana, most states, as of the Farm Bill Act that took place in 2018, which took marijuana off of the schedule, took the hemp off of the schedule one label, what that did was it made the hemp crop a crop no different than corn. It's just as legal as corn in most states. There are some states that are still rolling out, but again, we just named 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. It's 18 states that have recreational marijuana. So the other states, it's like about 38 or so states that have hemp. So from that hemp, as Brother Eugene mentioned, on the industrial hemp, they got two different types of industrial hemp. They have the industrial hemp, well, actually three. They have the industrial hemp, that is strictly, it's called fiber. It's strictly used for making non-consumable products like ropes and clothes, and they can even use it to make concrete. They call it hempcrete. It's all kind of things that can be made. There's so many avenues, as Brother Eugene mentioned, that you can go not only on the marijuana side, but also on the hemp side. So if you're in a state that doesn't have legal marijuana, look into the hemp. And for both, for marijuana as well as hemp, to grow and process and cultivate, there are different licenses. You have to be licensed. You need to go check your state for the agricultural department and find out what it requires to be licensed. In most states, so long as you have not had a conviction of a felony conviction of drugs or something to that effect in the last 10 years, so then you can pretty much get licensed. But each state is going to have different rules. Like, for instance, in Texas, is more strict. You can't have had any felonies. I don't think they have a 10-year rule. But in Louisiana, it's more lenient. So long as it hasn't been 10 years, you can. So you want to check by state if you want to actually be a grower or a cultivator or processing. However, if you're just going to do on the retail end, as the brother mentioned, the marketing or the doing, what did you call it, Brother Eugene, white labeling, where you would take...
That's correct. Getting the actual product itself and branding it yourself, getting the raw material and branding it as your own brand or label.
Exactly. That's a whole arena right there. I mean, someone else is doing all of the work as far as the growing and the extracting. And you would get the raw material wholesale and white label it, put your label on it, market it. You know, that's a lane right there, a very major lane. But there's two categories. So you just want to check with your state. Of course, the states that have legal marijuana also have hemp. And from the hemp, that's when the industrial hemp, that's when you can extract. So we talked about fiber, which is the non-consumable part of hemp. But the other side is the consumable hemp. That's where you can start growing to extract or grow flower that we can use for CBD, CBG, and CBN. Now, these are all, byproducts of the industrial hemp. That's the technical name for the hemp, by the FDA and the USDA is industrial hemp. And so then you have marijuana that's recreational. And then some of these states that don't have recreational marijuana do have medical marijuana that Brother Eugene mentioned. Now, some states you have to have a prescription, and some states you can't have smokable, some states you can. Some states you can only use it like oils and ointments and pills. So, as the brother mentioned, you want to check what are the rules and regulations in your state. Now, I want to say this. If you don't live in a state that has it, that does not stop you from investing in a state that does. You don't have to be a resident, but you will have to go through the state rules and regulations and either partner with someone in another state. But we want to make sure you get the proper license. We don't want, folks just jumping out and just jumping into something for the financial side without covering your trail on the licenses and regulations by the state. And those licenses, it's just like starting any business, but one thing we can say, you're not going to be having to, depending on what you're doing, unless you're opening an actual brick and mortar type of establishment, these industries of marijuana and hemp, depending on where you're getting into it, you can get into it at a less of a cost than starting most other businesses, and you have such a high overhead and high demand. And as Brother Eugene mentioned, prior to the 1930s, marijuana wasn't even illegal. it was legal. It was strictly political. While it became illegal, in fact, marijuana was legal when alcohol was illegal. How about that? When prohibition was going on, marijuana was not illegal at all. Hemp was not illegal. In fact, most of the clothing, a lot of the military stuff was made from industrial hemp during World War I, World War II. But it was a strictly political move, an economic move, to control the economies and to criminalize something that was normal, part of our culture, part of people's culture. I mentioned earlier, our ancestors have been using marijuana and hemp forever. And something that everybody doesn't know, this is just how much they try to suppress information. Our body has an endocannabinoid system, just like your nervous system, your skeletal system. Our body has an endocannabinoid system. That is the system in our body that brings us to homeostasis, that deals with our senses, our intuition. And this is how come the cannabis has so many cannabinoids, they haven't even touched the surface of it. There's thousands of cannabinoids in the cannabis plant. CBD, CBG, CBN, CBA, THC, Delta 8, Delta 9, Delta 7. You got terpenes. I mean, and terpenes, that's what gives you the smell. You got flavonoids. That's a different taste and flavor. And each of those have a category. And it's money to be made. It's industry to be made. It's business to be made in this particular plant that is a very holistic plant. Not only does it have medical benefits, it has buku financial benefits if you really study, do your research and development, get your proper license, and just go ahead and look and make this an option for you, those of you who are business-minded. And Brother Eugene, we do have a caller with a question that's been had his hand up since we started. 850 error code. I believe that's our brother out of Florida, Brother Ron, Black Power. Black Power, 850, your mic is open, Brother Ron. Oh, going once, going twice. Your mic is open, brother. All right, I'm going to go ahead and close that out. Can you hear me, Eugene?
Yes, sir, I'm still here.
Okay. I know the switchboard kind of styled out. So,
oh, yeah, no problem.
There is an economic opportunity. Many of you folks have family land that's not being used. You need to try to get, you know, put it to use. And again, if you're in the industry or looking to get into the industry, there's a wealth of information available. And this is a very, very key crop, a very key crop. And as I was talking about the endocannabinoid system, this is how some people can use various extractions of the CBD and CBN for joint pain, to deal with epilepsy, to deal with seizures, to deal with insomnia, to deal with nausea, to deal with cancer. I mean, there's so many medical benefits. I mean, the list goes on, to help deal with diabetes, to help deal with COVID. I mean, there's so many things that can be done. And just, you know, this whole topic, you know, that Brother Eugene brought up is not only exciting, but it's a realm to destigmatize something that has been pushed into the underground market it never should have been. There have been so many people whose lives have been disrupted from the arrest that were associated with simple marijuana. You know, the sister Michelle Alexander got a book about the new Jim Crow, and she talks about
these crime statistics, or quote-unquote statistics, and how many times the state or these police would, you know, I smell marijuana, and they would use that to be the cause of destroying people's lives over a plant that is not only helpful to our health, that can now be helpful on the economic, but it's actually part of a system that our body naturally has, the endocannabinoid system. And we're talking about a cannabinoid plant. And so we are verging on or dealing in a time where there's major paradigm shifts taking place. And Eugene has brought this topic up in the business realm, but it's also in the very political realm. And it's also, one would say, could be in the very spiritual realm if you understand what your endocannabinoid senses deal with, the endocannabinoid system deals with, which are your senses. Our senses, how you feel, not
right,
even touching something. Yeah, your equilibrium, your homeostasis, and it's been stigmatized. Have you ever heard of anybody overdosing on marijuana? Hell no. But you've all these other things that are quote-unquote had been quote-unquote legal that did not come from the earth, such as marijuana, such as alcohol that has been processed, such as all these other pills and things of that nature that have caused people to have issues. So the thing, you know, and I'm going to pass the mic to you. Actually, we got a question, Brother Eugene. I'm going to open up the mic. This is our Brother Emmanuel, Black Power. Brother Emmanuel, your mic is open.
Yeah, Black Power. Yeah, Brother Emmanuel. Come on in, brother.
Uh-oh, his call dropped. Hopefully your call's back in. I open up his mic and his call dropped. What's going on with this switchboard? Man, there you go. All right, Brother Emmanuel, let's try this again. Ah, let's try this again. It knocked you out. Brother Emmanuel, mic check.
Black Power. Just giving honor to Brother Eugene and our queen and all those that are here on this night. Y'all know what it is, the Project of Immunity. And I thank the brother for bringing all his business and all those things that we have not had on a local level as our entertainment. So many of us get these local channels and we see it the way we're scripted to see it for our city. Y'all can see many of the verses from all the stations are the same, but adding on your problems. So you're only going to get their scripts. Here you get something beyond their scripts. You get the bigger sight, the bigger world, because although, as our queen said, the statistics that they gave us state that we 13% of the population, but 80% of the prisons, that's true, and that's here in the hills of North America, a place where they're trying to devour us. But as the queen also told you, if you have been joining us the other nights, we are the majority of the planet. So when you take us into a whole, the majority of the planet, we are the lowest in prison being, and they are the highest number imprisoned when you look at a total scale of the whole world. And you put those numbers in. So I'm glad our sister broke that down to everybody. And if y'all are listening, you can understand that they're going to script things. They're going to script even the statistics to make you feel like you don't have no way out, make you feel like you beat down, make you feel like you can't do it. But it's just a script, because the bigger picture, the whole number, more than their version, tells you the whole truth, and we need the whole truth. You feel what I'm saying? They say, give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me. Well, that's what we need. So we need the whole story. We need all of the income that's out there, how it's trading, how it's going up and down, you know. And right here, man, I want y'all to tell your brothers and sisters, man, this is the spot you can come to on Thursday nights, and you can get that financial. You can get that financial knowledge, because our brother, he'd be right on point with it, and he's giving it to you. So I salute you. I salute you, Queen. I salute everybody that's here, everybody that came in the great line of divine. I thank you all. I'm not going to get in the way. I just wanted to tell everybody that, you know, what the sister is saying, you know, about the cannabis. It is a healing herb and when it's used properly. Now, anything that you take in excess, you can make it harmful. It's a flip side to every coin. And God made things in the tubes. So, you know, it can be good for you, but at the same time, it could also be bad if you don't handle it proper. So, you know, that's what we want to do. We want to reclaim it. We want to make it pull out its medicinal purposes. We all know, and we all been in a position where we done smoked and it's just been something good and you overindulge in it and you get too high. Now, see, when it's medicine, you know, you drink the syrup, yeah, it's going to make your body feel good, but you can't overindulge, because if you drink the whole bottle, you're not going to get up no more. And many of our people have done that. We have been victims of that. And so now we have to harness this power. We got to stop letting them take the dollar. You're looking all over the world right now. You can go into any corner store and you can buy Tylenol across the counter. You can buy ibuprofen across the counter. Let me let y'all know something, man. Those are drugs manufactured by companies. These same companies, Moderna's and Pfizer's, that's doing all that there right now, them same people that had their money in the production of those same drugs that are sold legally across the counter. You know, the same things that if you are in possession of on your own, they'll take you to jail.
You're hitting on something, brother. Hold on, brother Emmanuel. That's what I meant to say. Guess who was part of the criminalization of marijuana in the 30s? It was Rockefeller. And Rockefeller and them did that because people were healing themselves with herbs and using marijuana for medicinal. But in the 30s, that's when they changed the whole medical system and made everything towards the doctors and towards the pills. And all them pills have side effects. And this is what we're dealing with now. It had nothing to do with marijuana being a gateway. That was just a bunch of hype. They knew them. They knew the healthy aspects of it. They knew that it was more. It was even people was even coming up with biofuel way back in the when marijuana first. When vehicles came out, it is so many benefits of this, and people making money with it. And they were trying to around that same time is that when they was also trying to control the farmers. The marijuana was made illegal for so many reasons. But, you know, it's always political.
And economical. Always political and economical, because they ain't doing none of this stuff to argue about nothing. They doing this stuff to worship their God, and that God is money. Their God is that dollar. They put it on there. In God we trust. That's their God. A jade Zeus. It's not Jesus. It's that. It's that almighty dollar, because they've done everything for the dollar, and they've never turned it down. So when, like the Queen was saying, when Rockefeller and these others came together and they decided we're going to make marijuana illegal, it was because, as she said, it was healing properties in there. And they didn't want people to heal themselves. They didn't want people to live a healthy life. Why? Because then people wouldn't be able to pay them for things that they were selling. They came up with the greatest hustle, a pill, a solution, quick fix to any problem. They know everybody out there. They can pray on the weak. They can pray because there's always somebody born. They always say it's a fool born every minute, which is true. So every minute a new person has to be educated, because the wolves are after you. You've seen it on National Geographic. Soon that baby come out the stomach, he got to get up and start walking in the jungle. If not, he's going to be ate up. He's going to be ate up. And that's how they've done us with these medical facilities. That's why they have that serpent and that cross, you know, on the ambulances. You know, we're going to go into that one day and explain it to you why that's there. That ain't something that you put there for fun. Two snakes wrapped around a stick. Things meant something. It is the metaphysics of your body. And they are those that are doing experiments on your body so that they can find out what they could use to have mass control of the people. And so they're not going to give you no fix to your problem. They're going to make the problem for you. Then they're going to give you their version of the fix. And their version always makes you better for a little while, then you got to come back. You're going to keep spending money. Their version makes you go into the workforce because they're colluding. They're working together. That's what collusion means. Go into the workforce, work your life away, getting these pieces of paper just to come and buy their medicine in hopes to live longer. And it don't happen. Why? Because everybody's body has an end. But they played with us, and they brought into our life the medical industry. We needed all this stuff. We didn't need none of this. But again, they had stolen from our mind the knowledge of that. And so they were able to do that. So, you know, for your Bible thumpers, I always got to tack that. Even in that, it says, and you can look in there, it says they will smell the sweet smell of the trees. It is like a balm. He says, is there no balm in Gilead? Gilead was a place. And he said, is there no balm? What is balm? Balm is something that's a soother. It's like an ointment. And you put it on a wound, and it fixes it. It heals it, you know, and it's a salve, as they call it, a solution. And so the smell that it gives off comes from a flower. And this flower is only in a certain place in the planet, on the planet. Is it like that movie, The Black Panther? They had those little panther purple trees, and they gave him extra power, but they were only in a certain place. They wasn't nowhere else but that certain place. Well, they knew that there was a solution. God wouldn't make this planet with all these plants, and they not be the solutions to any ailments your body that's made of this earth couldn't be solved with. But you had to find the knowledge. Yeah, and so it was our healing was right here, but they knew that and they controlled it. But they knew this time was gonna come too. I'm gonna get out the way, Queen. But they knew this time would come too. Trust me, the solution that's going on right now, all of them that's telling all of these secrets that they say, oh, God had to tell the people, I'm standing up for the people. Damn them, because they were the ones that made that problem. And now they're telling you because now they know they can't fool you no more. Y'all are scientists on your own, and you're going to find out. So now they're coming and tell you, oh, yeah, we saw the problem. Hey, y'all, I'm a red flag, everybody. I'm going to tell on everybody now. Like, you wasn't telling when you was getting $400,000 to keep poisoning us. And where did these poisons come from? Just like what we're dealing with right now, the COVID. These have been biochemically engineered things all the way down to the aspirin, the Tylenol. Those are bio produced by scientists. And who was the people on the planet that were doing chemical trials? Who? The Nazis. They said they killed Hitler, but we ain't seen what but a punk ass picture of America, him laying there.
America, they over here.
And still doing it to us. Yeah. And they calling the other stuff America. And then create panic and then say they're gonna. We're going to solve it because we're your brothers and sisters. We're going to love you, hoping that you forgive them and trust them. Don't trust them. Trust us, your brothers and sisters. I'm going to get out the way because you know how I go. But thank you, brothers and sisters, for giving our brothers the truth. Y'all know what it is.
Virginia, you know this is
going to
be a hot topic, man.
I knew it was going to be a hot topic tonight. That's what's up.
Yep. Brother Ron, your mic is
back open. You just had a phone problem. Your mic is open, Brother Ron.
Say something. Mic check. Your mic is open. You check me having a phone problem. Hold on. We're giving you one more chance. Your mic is open, Brother Ron. Say something. I'm going to take you out and take you in.
That's all right, sister. We can bring it back. We can try them again.
Let's try them one more time, Brother Ron. Going once. Going twice. Oh, man. All right, Brother Eugene. What were you saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can open up a can of good worms.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. As a matter of fact, I'm over here looking at some folks over here chiming in on the New African Network, and one of the brothers, he said, yeah, tell them what types of marijuana are there. And so I thought, yeah, give a little information on that, where there are three types of marijuana that is utilized, the sativa, then you have the indica, and then you have the hybrid. The sativa, it makes you feel stimulant, and it gives you a upbeat energy. And the indica is more
indica. Indica, brother, indica.
That's right. That's like that endo. When you hear him talking about that endo.
Exactly.
The endo gives you more of a relaxing and therapeutic feel, and it also helps to relieve pain. And then you also have the third, which is a hybrid, which can be used as a combination of plants that are grown combo, both tiva and indica. And you may also have some CBD principles connected in a lot of those that's out there today that you can put in. So you have to check around to see what's available. And brother said prices for this type of stuff, what are some of the prices like? Prices vary with the state that you're in. I know in the mid-Atlantic area, Washington, D.C., Maryland, in the Virginia area, you get like AK-47, which has a very high THC count.
20%. Damn,
it sounds. For 1 gram, you know, you pay about $16. If you want to get a quarter, you'll pay about $112 for a quarter. You'll also have some plants in the sativa category, which is much higher THC levels, such as apple pie. You also have Goji OG. And a company by the name of Alternative Solutions, they produce that. You also have Goji OG, which is also Columbia Care brand, and they come in at 25.9% on the THC. We also have another good one here. A lot of folks here, good one. It's called the Jack Herrera, and the Jack Herrera has a nice little buzz to it as well. And the Indica, one of the most brands that's purchased the most, they have the Blackberry Banana OG coming in at 24.5% on the THC level. You also have Blue Cheese, Classic Perps, those of you in the Purple Haze. In the district there in D.C., they have their own special brand called the District Cookie, and you can check that out. That's a certain brand, like if you're in the they also have the Green Love Potion, coming in at 23%. The Green Love Potion prices for a quarter ounce, you're looking at about $160. And for OZ, a full ounce, you're looking anywhere between $320. And they vary with the actual strand itself. And like I said, these strands, they come in three types, the sativa, indica, and you have the hybrid itself. And then you also have that CBD hemp that's being grown also. So look into that. And we also talked about what are some of the opportunities that you can make money in the business. One, if you have an extraction system, you can produce stuff called a resin called rosin. And for here, rosin, you know, for sativa brand, it gives a more potency that you can usually use for dab, or perhaps you can use it for take the oil and use it for some other purposes. It has a more concentrated form of 74.70% THC in it, and the same with the indica, which is 66.7%. And they have various brands known as apple pie, Again, you have the District Cookies. You have the Kushzilla. And Kushzilla right now is on sale in D.C. for around $45 for, I forget how many grams they give you for that, but the potency for that Kushzilla is 74.7% in the THC content. You also have CBD oil that you can use for cooking. They sell those in 500 milligram vials, where syringes, where you can use that to infuse in whatever type of, if you're using it for cooking, or some people they use and take the oil and put it on their tongue, and it is quickly absorbed into the body. They usually range for 250 milligram of the canola oil based Abition. You can spend anywhere between $80 all the way up to $150 for something like that. Also, you have Keef. Keefs are usually around $20. Keefs are used as a sprinkle, sort of like a shredded type of, they take the actual flour itself and shred the flour, not the actual bud itself, but the flour itself is shredded, and it can be used in cooking and stuff like that. Then you have your tinctures, and then we also know that they have a lot of folks like to vape these days, and they have the oil cartridges that you can purchase. They come in various brands ranging from Acapulco Gold to Dreadhead, Dreadbread. Again, Goji OG. They also have the Purple Haze and Panama Red brands. They usually start around, now they have a higher level of THC concentration as well. When you buy the cartridges, the actual oil cartridges have between 88% THC, and it go all the way up to 90% THC, and that is kept at a cap because the actual industry itself put a cap on the actual potency. Won't go over 100% THC brand. You have to have that oil mix. And they range anywhere between $40 all the way up to $65 for a purchase of a oil cartridge. So I'll yield a mic on that one.
So we had Brother Greg on. I don't know where he went as he fell off. But this switchboard is lit. This switchboard is lit. Speaking of lit,
yeah,
we're talking about marijuana.
Another thing we have is called, you know, you have a lot of the edibles today. They have the crispy,
right,
the Rice Krispie treats. They have chocolate bars that you can purchase, have a certain amount of. If you want the THC, you can get those. I'm sure you have your option between the THC and the CBD. And a lot of folks who don't want the THC in their system, they opt to get the CBD for relieving pain. They have various types of topicals that you can use, creams that you can purchase, bath soaks that you can get. They have cleansers, things that you can use to cleanse your face with. In the edible category, again, the Rice Krispies, they have the gummy bears, and all sorts of delicious treats that they have on this thing. You just have to kind of look on certain menus, depending on where you're going in any dispensary. They have a wide selection that you can choose from.
Right on, right on. We got Brother Greg back on, but long time no hear, Minister of Culture, Brother Greg, Black Power.
Black Power. Had to cut out for a second, make sure his daggone dog ain't making no noise in the background.
Wow, Black Power, Brother Greg. Welcome to the show, brother.
Black Power. Little one, she'll be here in the morning, so she'll be on. He'll be on for the rest of the week.
We missed that little Black Power baby voice coming on the programs each and every Thursday. So, yeah, we're hoping to get her tuned back in pretty soon.
she was supposed to have been here tonight, but she'll be here early in the morning.
Congratulations.
You got your business going. We're going to have to get you guys on our show. You guys are doing big things up there in New Jersey with your business, with your gun store. So then we need to get you in, brother. Brother Nathan's got a gun store down there in Fort Worth. So you guys are enterprising. We want to support black business. And that's going to be a whole other topic we have to bring you on. But since you're on, and New Jersey is one of the states that recently opened up for recreational marijuana, how has that hit your city?
Yeah, they're actually 13 in the state, and I believe that the closest one dispensary from in Newark is in the city of Patterson, which is probably about 15-20 minutes, away, and it's something that has been in the news for the longest, up here. And, people were in line up until like 3 a.m. in the morning, waiting for them, to open up. So, it's going to be, interesting, just seeing how things, progress from here. So, again, it's like 12 or 13 across the state. And, you can purchase like an ounce for recreational. And the amount, the amounts vary and increase when it comes to things like resins and other forms, oils and so forth. I don't know the exact ounces when it comes to those, but you definitely can purchase resins, oils, or 1 ounce for recreational. There are some some restrictions on driving while smoking. That's something that they said that's not prohibited here. As far as transport,
prohibited or not permitted.
You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to.
So it is prohibited.
It's prohibited.
Okay.
Here to. Smoking, to be basically you
can't
high
be barbecuing in your car. Can't be barbecuing in your car.
Yeah, you definitely can't. You definitely can't.
I know that's right. Might roll that window down.
Yeah.
Be like Cheech and Chong, and you be like, yo.
Yeah. And no,
keep yourself at home or stay on foot and do the right thing. That's what's up. We certainly want to encourage safety and making sure that you stay safe yourself, keeping other people safe as well. But it's definitely good opportunities. A lot of money is being made right now. Those dispensaries, they're making millions. Dollars hand over fist. Some of those dispensaries are making more than $1 million a day, and just being able to get in. And I know I have one brother just chimed in. He said, "Well, what are the costs associated with the applications?" And from the research, we found that they've been anywhere from $10,000 up to $25,000, depending on what state you're in, to be able to get a dispensary.
Well, some states are $2,500. Some states is $2,500.
Yeah, wow.
I would. You just need to check state. Do your research.
Yeah,
do your R&D. This is, although we're talking about marijuana and hemp, we're talking about the marijuana and hemp business. This is a business, so you still got to do your research if you're looking to get into this industry. As Brother Greg mentioned, you still need to do your research if you're even going to be a consumer. We want to stress on this network, we're talking about totally lawful things, also we're addressing the logistics, we're addressing the politics, the economics, all of that. But as Brother Eugene said, use wisdom. Each state is going to be different. And I want to remind you, we living in a virtual global world. If you're in a state that does not have it, that doesn't prohibit you from teaming up with someone that's in a state that does have it and investing, and just because, and I got to be something that we need to look into. This is the new Black Panther Party, so we want to identify the black businesses and dispensaries that we need to promote. So anyone knows of any black dispensaries or black growers or black processors or extractors or cultivators, we want to support those
those industries. We don't need everybody else but us making money on this industry. You know,
yeah,
Brother
sure.
Eugene has brought this to you for a reason. Go ahead, Brother Eugene.
Yeah, hey, Brother Greg, go ahead. Jump back in there, brother. We want to give you a chance to dialogue a little bit about it, about what's happening there in New Jersey with all the gold rush, the green rush.
Well, yeah, it's new, like a day or two, you know, since they've, you know, they opened up. I know they said it's like they opened up a couple of days earlier than expected. So, again, I'm just trying to keep my pulse on it. But one of the biggest topics about it, you know, the flip side to it is, you know, all of those individuals who are doing time, you know, for very, very small amounts, you know, that's a whole nother, you know, show and topic, you know, in itself. So, but, you know, it's
what are they talking about? They're talking about releasing them from jail and clearing their records? What are they saying?
Well, that's what they're saying. Some states.
Yeah, it hasn't hit, you know, the, let's say, you know, the media, but just the buzz on the street, you know, talking to, you know, a lot of individuals, you know, is what I'm referring to. You know, before it gets to it being something that you might hear on social media or on the news or the papers, but a lot of the conversations around has been around that, you know. You know, there's a lot of personal, you know, not only personal friends of mine, but just people within, you know, the community who been incarcerated for a good number of years for very, very small amounts, you know. So when you talk about, you know, it's legal to, you know, purchase an ounce, but, you know, you can actually possess, you know, a couple of ounces legally. But then on the flip side, again, you have, you know, brothers and sisters that's gotten 10, 15 years for less than that. So, you know, is it,
right.
You know, again, that's a whole topic and discussion, you know, within itself. But, you know, I definitely am going to look around to see if any of these 12, you know, locations are black holes, you know,
mm-hmm.
definitely to reach out to them, you know. But
right, yeah, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, so you know, it's something I'm definitely keeping my eyes open for.
Yeah, definitely let us know when you find out, so we'll know where we could tell brothers and sisters to visit, especially when they're there in the North New Jersey area. They'll be able to get to these places. I know in Washington D.C. they have only one black-owned facility, and that's located over in Southeast. And I think it's the Anacostia health facility or health care facility or something like that. You have to look it up online. But that's the only black-owned one out of, I believe, 20 in Washington, D.C., in the Mary area. So, yeah, there's definitely a disparity as far as who was able to get licenses for the distribution side, the dispensary side. But we really don't know how many African Americans may have had the opportunity to get in on the grow level, and that's where the money is being made at right there.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
We're growing in the cultivation side of it, and that information is not easily and readily available these days. And like you said, since the turn of 2019, there's been money being made hand over fist. By a lot of these so-called liberal white people who have gotten into growing and cultivating and getting into the dispensary, and they've made it a luxury food items and stuff like that. You can see all sorts mm-hmm. of food network these days with the use of cannabis in food products and making really good money off of it. So we certainly want to hip our brothers and sisters who may have a little taboo, may not have knowledge at all about the marijuana business, and to get them enlightened about what's happening. Yeah, so Black Power, we thank you for tuning in.
Oh, yeah.
There's another thing I want to bring up. So last week, a week before last, the U.S. House voted to decriminalize marijuana, meaning to take it off of the Schedule 1.
And that still got to find out, get an update of the status of the clearing the Senate and even an executive order to pass. And one thing that's very important about that, Brother Eugene alluded to it earlier, currently there are a lot of, because it was on Schedule 1, it made it illegal for the banking industries to be able to deposit and do certain exchanges across states that were legal and states that were not legal. So with the new laws that are coming into place that are going to take it off of the Schedule 1 category, are going to make it to where you might find a way your Chase Bank and I just say mainstream banks are getting into this. And so this is a good thing across the board, but we do need to be proactive as far as we do need to be proactive on our side with folks pulling their resources. I mean, 10,000 might be a lot for one person, but two people might can team up or identify the states where it's not, and then there's marijuana, and then there is hemp. Most places to get the hemp license costs you less than $500. And then if your state is not growing hemp, I mean marijuana right now, if you start on the grow side, as the brother mentioned, even if you start growing hemp until marijuana becomes available, you're going to be what's called a seasoned grower. And even like I was looking at the news about New Jersey, even the places that in other states that came, New Jersey, New Mexico, a couple of other states just came online, and what they found was as far as the recreational marijuana, and what they found, they had a shortage of products. So imagine if you're the grower, the growers are making hand over foot, so that's going to affect price. And another thing, even though like states like Louisiana, for example, they have, it's not legal for recreation marijuana, but medical marijuana is legal, and you would need to get a medical marijuana card. And there are certain illnesses or ailments that may qualify you to get medical marijuana. You know, it could be, it used to have this real strict list, but now the list is, you know, it could be pain, it could be anxiety, but the catch-22 about getting medical marijuana cards is that we found if you have a medical marijuana card, then it may exclude you from being able to get a handgun license, depending on what your state is saying, and also depending upon what your ailment is. So if you have, and I'm not, we're not doctors, we're not attorneys, we're not financial experts, we're just having a educational purpose conversation on this broadcast, but we do encourage, in fact, direct you to take anything that we've said and do your own research. And it's a matter, and research is a matter of Googling. Just Google your state. Google the rules. Google the laws and regulations from starting a business to getting your medical marijuana card to get it, you know, how it will affect your gun card. You know, again, this is business, you know. So check into what the rules are, and as long as you're within the rules, have at it or not, you know. But, you know, and I did see where some states were rolling back convictions of marijuana. They're even taking it out of the, you know, how some places you're on probation or something like that, and if you test, you know, you get revoked. You know, that's going away in a lot of places. So it is indeed a major paradigm shift, and this is indeed a very lucrative business that Eugene has brought to the table, and we need to, you know, look at it in that vein. You know, you don't even have to consume or want to consume marijuana as medicinal or recreational. You may strictly want to get into it business-wise, or you may want to do all of the above for medical, recreation and business. The choice is yours.
Black, yeah, I'm glad you made that point in regards to
you know, firearms. We had a sister up here, you know, last week from Atlanta, a firearms instructor, and she said, you know, she had a very, very nice, you know, lucrative, you know, business, you know, with it, but she found out that she had to choose either, you know, the marijuana business or, you know, the firearm business. She can't do both. You know, she couldn't continue to be an instructor and have, you know, that business. So, you know, I'm glad you did bring up that point. So, yeah, definitely, those who are listening, you know, do your research on all, you know, from all angles of it, you know, business-wise, you know, like Sister Crystal mentioned, you know, even if you're just into recreational use, you know, definitely, you know, do your research on it. Black Power.
Yeah, thank you for that information, Brother Greg. And Brother Greg is reporting live from North New Jersey. We thank you, brother, for bringing vital information in each and every week to the broadcast. And we had a young lady just chime me here on the New Africa Network. She said, well, where are some places in Africa where it is legal to purchase and buy marijuana? So did a quick little research here. It says Lesotho was the first country to legalize, followed by Zimbabwe, South Africa, Malawi, Eswatini, is that how you spell it? Eswatini, Zambia, Uganda, and recently followed by Rwanda. So these are some great places to look into to getting in the marijuana game and hemp business. And we certainly appreciate you all for tuning in this evening. Any last words and all that? I know we're getting a little bit close to the end of the night's broadcast. Sister Crystal, you want to weigh in on a little bit more information about the industry? Also, Morocco.
Oh, you got the crack in my mouth. Another thing that we found that might be that's a good industry that people are doing, and that's right up your alley, Brother Greg. Transportation. There's a whole lane of transportation, be it hauling volume or delivery. So if you're in the state that allows for recreational, you need to check what the licenses are. And so, I mean, that's a pretty big business. Don't you know, even like in California and other places, you can order it by Uber. You can order it by Uber, just like Uber Eats. And you know, this industry, again, like with any other industry, we do not want to be left as just being consumers. We need to look in it on from all aspects, from growing to manufacturing to distribution to, Brother Eugene mentioned, the medical side. If you're going to medical school, this is a whole new lane. If you're in college and agriculture, this is a highly lucrative and very progressive lane. During the COVID pandemic, there were so many recommendations of the use of this medical marijuana. CBD, 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 CBG, CBN, those come from hemp. And Delta 8 and Delta 9, those all come from hemp. But then marijuana has its own categories. So, I mean, the sky's the limit. We are very thankful for our brother for bringing up this topic. You know, the stigma has been lifted. Hell, some people, even the recreational side, you know, some people just wanted marijuana to chill out. They just keep it real, you know. But as brother, I think it was Brother Emmanuel mentioned earlier, do use wisdom, don't overconsume. You know, don't sit there and, you know, just because things are legal now, you just become a pothead and don't do nothing else with your life.
But it is
money to be made. I'm in the insurance industry. There's even a whole category of folks writing policies for insurance to help insure stores, dispensaries, to insure the crop, you know. You know,
So there's almost every industry that exists where this many industries, a lot of industries that exist where these products can come in. And this is a herb, a plant, marijuana. It's a male-female plant. Then they got a more feminized plant. I mean, it's a whole lane that we could talk about. But, you know, this is a very key topic. And, you know, we'll bring it back up as needed, you know. But we want to thank Brother Eugene and the New African Network, everyone that's listening from across the planet that supports this broadcast. We thank you and we appreciate you. We want to thank all of our callers that called in to participate, Brother Emmanuel, Brother Greg, Brother Ron tried to get in. But this is a very, you know, very powerful show tonight. We thank all of our listeners. Be sure to go to www.nbpp.org to click that donate button to help support this broadcast. And if there's any information that was brought up that you have the answers to, such as black-owned dispensaries or businesses or farmers, send us a message so we can spread the word. But that's all I got, Black Power.
Black power. Yeah, well, there's certainly boys and girls and ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again this time next week, and we hope you tune in. We'll have some special guests. I think our next guest will be the owner of the, the Washington Informer newspaper, a lady by the name of Denise Rolark, who was the heir to the United Black Fund, Washington Informer newspaper. We're going to have her on to tell us a little bit about what's going on in black media today in these today's times. And we certainly look forward to having her on the show next week. So stay blessed, and we'll see you all this time next week. Same black time, same black channel. One love. We out of here.
Black Power.